This is GovExec Daily, where we bring you the federal stories that really matter. It's April 28th, 2022. I'm Ross Gianfortune. According to Postal Service IG reports, on-time performance has been decreasing for several years, a problem that was exacerbated by the COVID-19 crisis. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy came into that job in mid-2020 with the purpose of fixing the post office's management conundrum and shaping up the operation. Because of his ties to then-President Donald Trump and his forthright, often adversarial exchanges with members of Congress, DeJoy has been controversial since he came into the public eye. In one exchange last year, DeJoy and Representative Katie Porter went back and forth on DeJoy's management of the post office.
Would you please provide a list to the committee of the consultants that were involved in this strategic plan?
I can provide you whatever information we have. What I was about to tell you, if you let me finish, was that most of this plan was designed by about 150 people within the organization. It was a postal-produced analysis.
In a wide-ranging interview with GovExec's Eric Katz, DeJoy laid out his management ethos for the Postal Service and explained further his plans for managing USPS. DeJoy talked with Katz about his vision for the future, the calls for him to step down, and his plans for making the post office more financially solvent as he sees it. After a short break, Eric Katz will join me to discuss his interview with DeJoy and the post office.
Ready to take your customer experience to the next level? Join us in person at the Renaissance DC for the Experience Makers Government Forum, brought to you by Adobe. On May 10th, top public sector leaders will explore state-of-the-art techniques for service delivery designed to help government agencies meet the needs of its people. Hear live from Federal Chief Information Officer Claire Martorana, the DEA agents who took down Pablo Escobar, and more. Register now at govexec.com/events. That's govexec.com/events.
Postmaster General Louis DeJoy has been a controversial public figure since his elevation to that job in June 2020. His operational changes slowed mail delivery in conjunction with staff time lost during the pandemic, also coinciding with a historic increase in voting by mail during a controversial election involving a close ally of DeJoy, former President Donald Trump. GovExec senior correspondent Eric Katz covers the Postal Service, and he sat down with DeJoy earlier this month. He joins me now to discuss the Postmaster General and the state of the Postal Service. Welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
How does DeJoy tell the story of the evolution of the Postal Service before he came on in June of 2020? And how has it evolved since then?
When Louis DeJoy talks about the Postal Service before he got there, he basically describes an organization that was stuck in the mud. It was struggling financially. Everyone knows that. It has been for, you know, going on 15 years. But his thinking on this is that they weren't doing anything about it, that they were kicking the can down the road on all their tough challenges, and they were avoiding taking on any fights that might be controversial, and they were refusing to adapt to their new situation of people using the mail less than they used to. No one's sending letters anymore and paying their bills through the mail and all those sorts of things we've talked about many times. So when he talks about where the Postal Service is now and what he's tried to do is try to actually implement the changes that he believes are necessary and that, you know, may ruffle some feathers, but will actually get the Postal Service moving in the right direction and sort of taking on the challenges that it has refused to take on from his perspective for the last several years.
His changes certainly have been the cause of concern for a lot of people. how does he sort of frame his operational changes outside of just the, this was a stuck in the mud organization and I'm getting it out of the ditch?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the main lens through which he views all of this. He is pretty open that he understands that not everyone's going to like what he does, and that he's going to create some controversy, but he's doing what's necessary and that he's willing to take the heat. He says he downplays the impact that some of these changes will have. In our interview, in our story, we talked about how he said, for example, slowing down the mail, no one's going to remember that in a few years from now. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically his quote. The price increases, yeah, it's going to piss off some mailers, but like large scale mailers, but it's not a big deal in the long term. And that if he could preserve prices for one more year, but it would cause more problems from the less revenue, then it's not worth it just to not piss off certain people. So he's always trying to justify it as less impactful than some would lead on, or some would have you believe, that he's been scapegoated for some of these things, and it's really just him recognizing realities of the Postal Service, and that he's been attacked personally in many ways for challenges to ethical concerns and conflicts of interest and things of that nature, and that's sort of a distraction from what he's trying to do, and that like I said, he's just trying to get the Postal Service on better footing, and he's doing what's necessary. So that's sort of how he looks at this, one could certainly disagree with his decisions. The Postal Service, to take the slowdown example, they say, critics will say, well, what about medicines that go through the mail that will now be shipped more slowly? They say, well, it's not that much, and it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme. We're trying to carve out some of that stuff. It's downplaying, and it's saying there's no other option. So that's really how he looks at these things.
You mentioned that he's just trying to get the Postal Service sort of back on better footing, and you lead the story with a quote from DeJoy where he basically says, like, I don't need to be here. The actual quote is, I don't have to work. I've got lots of things I could do. Now, the subtext here seems to me to be that he's committing, to being Postmaster General and to do a good job at it, and to sort of deliver this mission of adjusting the operations of the Postal Service to become a more solvent organization. But sort of to one end, does he have a overlying motivation here other than just this is the job that I was tasked to do?
Well, let's take some of the theoreticals and work backwards from there. He's a Republican. He's aligned himself with Republicans. He's backed President Trump financially. Is this like some sort of ideological thing where he's angry about this existing as a public service? I think we can take that one off the table. He might not have the same goals that everyone who's involved in postal policy might, but he's said without a shadow of a doubt in our interview that he has no interest in privatizing the Postal Service. It wouldn't work as a private sector organization. And his main driving goal is to make sure that it lasts as a public institution. Is he doing this for some sort of personal gain? There's been reporting about his former company, having contracts with the Postal Service. Those certainly are worthy of inspection. I believe that the Postal Service Inspector General is looking into these sorts of things. And you don't want to have that appearance, obviously. But he's a really rich guy. And just putting it bluntly, you know, I don't think that the, you know, little bit of money he could get on the edges from a postal contract would really make a dent in his net worth. So, you know, certainly if he is steering things in that direction, we should blow the lid on that. But he, you know, I don't think that's why he took the job. He says that he's, you know, been successful in the private sector, and this is his opportunity to indulge in public service, to engage with, you know, government and to try to make things better for people. You know, you can take him at his word on that or not, but that's what he says is driving him in this perspective, in this job. You know, I think that his approach to the Postal Service is, and I sort of get at this, you know, we headlined the story, the ethos of Louis DeJoy, something along those lines. You know, he's a sort of, by his own admission, a shoot first, ask questions later guy. I think that's why he's run into trouble sometimes, some of these policies that he's put into place. He wants to change things. So, you know, sometimes that will mean that he creates a huge crisis of mail delays because something he didn't fully analyze the way that one of his initiatives would go into effect. You know, in other ways, it's objectively helping the Postal Service, you know, run their networks more efficiently and save money. So helping the workforce to become, you know, more, less turnover, they have better benefits because they're moving into career, quote unquote, career jobs. So, you know, those are things that are really helping their operations and their people. So, you know, I think he sees himself as someone who can drive these sorts of changes. And, you know, he's going to try. He is taking a sort of business first approach with the Postal Service. That's another thing in addition to the shoot first, ask questions later thing. I mean, they're related, but that's another element that has rubbed people the wrong way is, you know, is he trying too hard to squeeze every last drop of juice out of that fruit at the expense of making it a good public service? He would dispute that, of course. But you know, there's some signs that's sort of his thinking. I think that's really what's driving him is trying to turn the ship around.
To that end, you have since reported, since you talked to him on the announcement that USPS is moving forward with delivery slowdown for small packages. Now, this is part of his operational plan and the sort of changes in the way that the government that the USPS works, but the Postal Service regulators were not super happy about it, and they were pretty upset about the plan in the fall. So what's the state of this change, and how does it fit into the, as you mentioned, the Louis DeJoy ethos?
Yeah, you know, the change is happening. There's nothing really anyone can do about it at this point, unless there was some sort of act of Congress, which is certainly not coming. This will affect, you know, not all packages, but about a third will go to, instead of being maximum 3 days delivery, they would be a maximum 5 day delivery. So, you know, like I previously outlined, you know, DeJoy says this isn't that big of a deal. People aren't going to even notice that much. They're not meeting their targets anyway. So this will make it give people a clearer, more realistic picture of when to expect things to be delivered. Of course, the detractors say that you're making the postal service less attractive option. There's more competition on packages than ever, with places like Amazon creating their own networks, and you're going to drive even more volume out of the system, and the packages is what has been the one growth area over the last several years. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is going into effect May 1st, and you know, it's part of DeJoy's vision. He's gonna be raising prices. He's gonna be tinkering with these delivery windows. You know, one thing I will note is I asked him in the interview, "Is this it?" Because you know, a few months back they slowed down delivery for first class mail, meaning like letters and just things that you put a stamp on. Now they're doing this for packages. Are there going to be further slowdowns? Are we going to go from 5 days to 7 days? Are we going to make things that were 2 days go to 3 days, whatever? He said no. He said, this is it. This is all we need to do, and we'll be good to go from here. In addition to other reforms that will impact parts of the business, but not delivery times. You know, we'll see if he keeps his word on that, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we've sort of, it's hard to take his word for it just because the situation moves so much, you know, like who's to say that in 6 months they won't say, oh, we actually have to slow it down more because of pandemic surges or inflation or supply chain, you know, like there's just so many moving parts here that I think his definitive language sometimes, let's say, can get him in some trouble. And I think that,
yeah,
really he came across.
He wears it on his sleeve. He doesn't. He's not afraid to speak his mind. You know, when he goes up to Capitol Hill to testify, he's not kissing anyone's ass. He's saying, you know, for better or worse, what's really on his mind. You know, he's run into trouble with it at times. We didn't even get into the electric vehicle stuff, which is, you know, another area where he's saying, look, I don't want to pay for it, so I'm not going to do it. It's sort of like that's Louis DeJoy. He doesn't think about how other people approach it from the public policy perspective of, well, you know, it's good for the environment and all of that. So, you know, that just sort of is a microcosm of how he approaches things.
Yeah, it really speaks to, I think, sort of what you're talking about, about his sort of focus on, this is the job I was sort of brought in to do, and I'm going to do it, and that shoot from the hip kind of ask questions later nature of it, to put my own editorializing on it, perhaps doesn't take into account all the factors that are there. You know, the example I use as far as like him being very definitive in his language, like, buddy, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So having these kind of concrete, this is how it's going to be, is perhaps a little premature and high risk, low reward, because no one's going to remember one way or the other. But that's how he is. That's how he talks. And that's his management style. And certainly, I think you did a great job of kind of getting a lot of that out of him and getting it to our readers. And for that, thanks for being on the show with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to GovExec Daily. Our show was produced by Adam Butler and hosted by me, Ross John Fortuna. We want to thank Eric Katz for joining the program. Our music is the song Signals by Catfish Dancing. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Check us out on the Clubhouse app by searching for GovExec Daily. You can email us any feedback at podcast@govexec.com or hit us up on Twitter @GovExec. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you later.